You know, I love that song, and it really made me think of the rich young ruler. And it made me think of how Jesus really wants our love, and he wants our total commitment. And with the rich young ruler, you know, he was ready to follow him, and Jesus told him, he said, well, first I want you to go sell everything you own, give it to the poor, then you can come follow me. Because he realized that the rich young ruler, he was impressed with Jesus, and he believed that Jesus was from God, but he found his security in the things he had, and he probably looked at Jesus and realized, hey, he just told that guy that foxes have holes, and the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And he probably realized that he's traveling around, and there's no real source of income coming in here. I probably better keep my safety with my things. And he wasn't really willing to surrender his life fully to Christ. It's just interesting how we can't know what's in people's hearts, sometimes even if they tell us, but especially if they don't. But Jesus knows what's in our hearts. You know, I had a guy talking to me one time, and he said, would you marry somebody if they told you that they didn't really love you, but you thought they were really beautiful, and they told you that they would commit to being with you and marry you because they wanted the lifestyle that your income could provide? How many of you would marry that person? Marry a person that didn't really love you, but they wanted to live with you because of what you could give them. I mean, that would be scary to say yes, right? And it's just interesting that Jesus knows who Judas is, and he knows who Peter is. And coming into his kingdom, it is that place in our lives where we let go and decide that he is going to be our first and our everything. And those are the children that Peter is writing to, both in 1st and in 2nd Peter. And we're going to look at verses 12 through 15 today as we continue walking through it. But why some Christians are never shaken? And it is interesting that a lot of what Jesus talks about is the filtering out of those people who are really not Christians in name, but they are really Christians. And those that that like to be around Christianity, they like the benefits of Christianity, but God knows in their heart that commitment is there. They will not endure to the end. If there's something that they have to lose, they are afraid of losing it, and they're not going to be able to withstand the things of life. That first song that we sang, this is a very important song to what Peter is going to tell us here. It says, when I stand accused by my regrets. Has anybody here not had those? Has anybody here not looked back and think, well, I could have done things differently. I wish I would have done things differently. I have people tell me that all the time. I had somebody tell me that this morning. And we have regrets because as time goes on, we're able to stop and look back and realize that we could have made better decisions. We could have done things better. Of course, the circumstances weren't the same. And Paul tells us that God has revealed to him that he needs to forget the what? You can't do anything about it. You can't change it. And there's no sense in kicking yourself over what you didn't know or what you should have done or what might have been different. The fact is all you've got is your what? Your present, which is going to determine your future. And so if you're in the present with what you've got, with where you are, and you believe that God can redeem, and you are going to press forward towards the goal of what he wants in your life, the heavenly things, not the earthly things, then you can move forward. But we all are tempted by this. When we stand accused by our regrets, the devil roars his empty threats, and we feel like we've blown it. Has anybody in here not felt like they've blown life at some time? That's just a part of what we face. And I love this. This is one of Cindy's favorite lyrics in the song. It says, I will preach the gospel to myself. that I am not a condemned man. We have to know the truth, and we have to have our minds stayed on God's truth and fixed on God and fixed on His truth. If we start listening to the philosophies of the world, if we start looking at our circumstances, if we start leaning on our own understanding, trying to figure out how we can fix it, we're going to soon find out that we've dug a hole we can't get out of on our own. And so we need to make sure that God's truth, rather than the things of the world that are being told us about our situation, those are the things that we are thinking about. For Jesus Christ is my defense, not my wise choices, not my good intentions, not the resources I have to turn it around, but Jesus Christ is my defense, and in His will, God can work things together for good. My sin is nailed to the cross, and I just want to remind you, we spent years and years talking about sin. And if you're in this room and you think my sin has been nailed to the cross, and you're thinking of an action you did, then you're missing the picture of what He's talking about. Your sin is your choice to lean on your own understanding to do it your way, to separate from God until you need Him, to live your life your way. And yes, you're going to have plenty of sins that come out of that, because you're going to make a lot of choices that if you were listening to God, you would have made them differently. There are a lot of things that God saw that you didn't see. And if you separate yourself from Him, you're going to end up with a lot of emptiness in your life, a lot of regrets, a lot of difficulties there. And what it's saying here is it's saying my sin, it's saying the attitude I had where I wouldn't listen to God unless I thought I was going to agree with what He said. I wasn't looking for God unless I felt like I didn't have any idea what to do. Then I might turn and listen to Him. But that human nature inside of me that says, I want to be my own boss. I don't want any authority in my life, not even God. I want to make my decisions. I want to decide what's good and evil. I'm not listening to anybody. That's what's been nailed to the cross. And that's what heals my heart. It's not that I saw that something I did was not right in God's eyes and I'm getting some bad consequences from it, so I'm going to change that thing. No, I've changed my attitude towards God. I am now someone who wants to seek Him, who wants to know Him, who wants to love Him, and wants to honor Him in what I do. And because of that, God can heal my heart. He can heal me even though I'm not perfect. The weight of guilt I bear no more. Now, a lot of us in this room, we would say that is the greatest gift God gave us. We lived our lives in a way that we messed it up so bad that we felt like there was no hope in our lives. And then we heard God calling us, even though we had nothing left to give. And we had nowhere to go, so we just went ahead and said, God, if you can help me, I'm yours. And when we made that step towards Him, He started slowly rebuilding our lives, and we realized that being able to walk forward, knowing that God is pleased with us, we are good with Him, that what His will for our life is open to us, we're not crossways with Him, we don't carry the burden of guilt that we are not loving back the one who loved and created us. And it causes us to be able to praise the Lord. Well, we're going to pick up here with 2 Peter verse 1, chapter 1, verse 12. And it starts off with so or therefore. Most of your Bibles will say therefore or because of. And so we want to take a look right there and just say because of what? Well, the first part of 2 Peter is really telling us, as we come into the part that was just before this, that you can have an entrance into heaven that is a door that God is opening up for you, an eternal, victorious entrance into heaven where God is celebrating with you, kind of like the prodigal son coming home and the father opening up the door and seeing him come and running to greet him with his arms open wide and putting that robe on him and slipping that ring on his finger and bringing him back in for a celebration, a big feast. a big party, a big celebration. You can experience that, but you also can be a person who never really has a relationship with God. You're around him. You can know the truth, but not know the truth giver. You can know that there are true things that Jesus said, but not know that he is the truth. And without him, all of those true statements are still not enough for you to experience the abundant life that he promised. And you can stumble into ruin, is what it's saying. You can be around and know about Christ, and yet when it comes that time, you can be told, we don't have a relationship. I don't know you. Actually, God knows us. He knows that we don't know him. We don't have a relationship with him. And it's telling us that it's important that we make every effort, is what it says. Make every effort to make sure that these qualities are in us and increasing that God wants to put into us. And if we have those qualities and they are growing, and that's another word I want to emphasize, we have the qualities, but we're still growing. When we come into the kingdom of God, we're like little children. We're not like, you know, we're not like heroes armed with everything and all the truth in the world to be able to live perfectly. But God works with us. He helps us grow. He makes us more and more effective and productive in his kingdom. But one of the things that is emphasizing as he goes on is that we are talking about entering into his eternal kingdom, which means the place where he rules in us. It's not a place where we rule ourselves, and when we get in trouble, we realize we'll make a few changes so God's not mad at us. But it is a place where our heart is surrendered to him, and we want to live for, and we want to serve him. And so he goes on, he says, so, since this is very important, I will always remind you of these things. So what things is he talking about, and why does he always remind you of them? Part of the reason is because as we're reminded of things, they start to sink in. How many of you have been in a class or in something like that to whereas, you know, the teacher gives you the information, and then the next day, you got it while you were listening to him because he explained it so well. And then the next day you come in and he's going with the next lesson. And as you start to get that information in, you kind of start to lose grasp of what he told you yesterday. And it starts to become a little fuzzier. Has anybody been in a class like that but me? Am I the only one? And then you go the next day and they put more stuff on, and it's kind of like you forgot the foundation and like, I don't understand what he's talking about anymore. And so part of reminding is that it is a part of the growth process that God has for us. If we want to really learn something, it takes repetition for people. You know, when I was teaching, I learned this. I wish I'd learned it early in my teaching career, but I learned it towards the end. And I, you know, they started telling us at school that we were going to be paid according to how we produced. I don't know if that ever really happened because I retired before it came into effect, but that was a motivator for people to start to look at different things, and they brought different things into the school system that were recorded things for us to be, for them to be able to measure how much our students knew. And so as I went, I just started thinking back on some things that I had learned in coaching and different things, and I realized that if you want to do something, repetition's the key. I mean, if you watch a professional football game, when they warm up, they're not warming up doing fancy stuff. They're up there warming up, making sure that their elbows are in tight, their thumbs are pointed up instead of like this. They're working on the little fundamentals. And they're reminding themselves, I got to do this right. I got to be in here, because once we get successful at anything, we tend to forget. And so what I did, and I hope it doesn't annoy you because I still do it, but I reviewed everything that we had in the course every day before I went to the next step. And I realized that review for people, they don't like it, you know, because if you start to know, if you think you know something, you don't want to hear it again. You want to move on. And so I made these little games up, and I had all kinds of different things that I did. But every day we reviewed everything that was going to be on the test, every question. And so I tried to do it in a way that was not as difficult to do, although I know some students, by the time we got to the end, felt it a little difficult even to play a different game every day. But the thing was, is that when I gave my tests, my average score was 100. I would have a couple 98s, I might have a 96, but almost everybody made 100. And so when we came time for the first time in Hamilton County Schools, where they rated teachers as efficient and or highly qualified, excuse me, that's what it was, or and all the ones, I can't remember because it was my last year. And when it came time for that, there was only one teacher in our school that was rated highly qualified, and that was me. And I'm telling you, I was by far not the best teacher, because there were a lot of things I didn't understand. There were a lot of things I didn't know how to explain well. But I knew that if we reviewed the things that they had to know, eventually everybody would know them, even the people that didn't really want to study them and to know. And so what he's saying is he realizes this, no matter how dedicated, if you're as dedicated to reading the Bible as Brad is, or if you struggle with it, you got to remind it. You got to be reminded and reminded and reminded of God's truth, or else when you get in the pressure of life, you'll forget it. And so Peter is saying here, he's saying, look, I've been doing this a long time. We're reviewing. I'm going to remind you of these things. I'm going to remind you of them always. We're always going to be sticking with what things? The fundamentals. I don't want you to forget. I don't want you to forget that you are separated from God because you wanted to do things your own way. I don't want you to forget that what being separated from God means is you're not listening to Him. You don't think you need to listen to Him. You think you can map your own course. You don't think that you need an authority who can see the ripple effects of everything that's going on around you to be able to advise you as you walk through, because you think you know what's going on. And so it's those basic things that he wants to remind us of. He wants to remind us that we were once in the world. And he wants to remind us that God, through Jesus Christ, has called us out and given us a like faith. All of our faith is alike. It's all in the same thing. The basics and fundamentals are the same for every single one of us. We were lost. We were separated from God. We did it by our own choice. It doesn't matter if we followed the crowd. We chose to go with them. We should have known that the God who created us had a plan for us and cared for us, but we didn't. And we had no way of knowing how to come back to Him. And yet, Jesus Christ came and died for us, and by the knowledge of Him, we can understand who God is, and God enters the picture of our perspective, and everything is different. And our whole life, if it's going to include a spiritual connection rather than just a physical connection to the world and to people and an emotional connection to the world and people, but if it's going to have a spiritual connection to God, that's going to come through a relationship with God. And as we grow in that relationship with God, we grow spiritually in wisdom, we grow in faith, we grow in the hope that God gives us, we're filled with joy, we have peace. Everything about us starts to change, and those virtues or character qualities that Jesus demonstrated on earth start to be formed in us by the Holy Spirit. And those truths cannot be divorced from our pursuit of God. If we stop listening to Him, if we stop seeking Him, if we stop interacting and conversing with Him about what He's trying to tell us, pretty soon He'll kind of fade from our memory. And we won't see all of that picture of what He wants to show us. So these things are the fundamental things. They're the basics of Christianity. It's really interesting to see sometimes how people who've been Christians for a long, long time know a lot of theology. And the more they talk about it, the less you start to notice you ever hear the name of Jesus Christ. We get the principles down, and it starts to become like the laws and the precepts and the things we follow, the things we do to be pleased by God, where our life needs to be motivated by an awe of what God has done for us and an unbelievable gratitude that He would choose us, and a love that wants to respond to Him and just whatever we can help Him realize that, you know, the world may think you made a mistake, but I am trying as hard as I can to make you look like you made the right choice. But we are serving Him because we love Him. And even though we know Him, that's an interesting statement right there. Even though we know Him and are firmly established in the truth that we now have, Peter is still going to remind us over and over and over. And part of that, it comes from two things. Number one, if you don't know the truth, it's really hard to do what God wants. Would you agree? And we don't see all that truth. We get the truth of God revealed to us as we walk with Him, as we seek to know His word, and then we apply it to our lives, and then we evaluate our lives by it. Like, This may not be a great illustration, but it was a real revelation to me. We had my mom's funeral here a week ago. Is that right? 2 weeks ago? Soon, very recently. And when we had that funeral, my sister got up and spoke. How many of you were here when that happened? She's a great speaker, isn't she? I lived with my mom and my dad and my brother and my sister, and she got up and she spoke about her relationship with my mom. And I was really surprised because my experience with that, I didn't have that type of relationship. One, probably because I wasn't her daughter, but two, because I was the firstborn, and so I'm the first one to run off, right? And when she got up here, she said, "We went to church every week." How many of you remember her saying that? Well, she said it. And I was like, "We never went to church. What are you talking about?" And as we got back afterwards, I asked her about that. And I said, what do you mean you went to church?" And she said, "I was the student president of the youth group." I said, "What? We're living in the same house together. We're living in two different worlds in the same house." And as we talked about it, we realized that when we moved to Platteville, Wisconsin, we moved there because my dad and mom had seen what being adrift and dad in the army and never being home and stuff like that. And I was running with this crowd that was involved in many things that we do not want our children involved with. And so he gave up his career as far as a promotion to move to get us out of Washington, D.C. as far away as he could, which was Platteville, Wisconsin. And so we got there, and I do remember that my sister wanted to hang with me. And of course, I went and sought out the same friends that I had when I was in Washington, D.C. And I didn't want my little sister hanging out with me. I remember that. But As the story goes, what I did not realize is that God had been working in my parents to really open their eyes. My mom had an experience with a very good Sunday school teacher at 12 years old where she had prayed to accept Christ and really wanted to live for Christ. Then when she got in high school, there was nothing like that for them. And so they had gone during that time until my life started going in directions that they felt like they'd lost their son. They felt like there was, you know, they were losing everything. And that spirit came back up in her. And she looked up and cried out to God for help. And I knew that story because Mom and I had talked about it before. And it was years later, when I became a Christian and came back, that she started seeing that Christianity was a daily living thing. But God had been working, and she was already following him, knowing, I've got to get Beth in a different set of friends. I got it. We have to start going to church so that she is not going to grow up and find the same friends that Bill had. And it's just a way of as I look at those things and I start to see, it's just amazing. We can know those truths, but when we see them lived out by someone who is trying to obey God with the knowledge they have, might not have all the knowledge, might not have had all the truth, but the truth that they had, they're trying to follow. The Holy Spirit can still lead them to make the decisions that they would have made if they had all the truth. And so it's just interesting to me to know that I can have some question marks in my head. There can be some things about God I don't understand. There can be some things about the situation I'm in and the next step I need to take that I don't understand. But I know this, if my heart is following God and I am in the place God wants me to be, that God can give me the guidance that I need. And I got a little picture up here of two people right here, because a lot of those things happen when we discuss what God's truth is with people and how we apply it in our lives. It's what we do in one-on-one discipleship meetings. It's what we do in small groups. It's what Christian fellowship really is about. And what it does is it helps us to see things that God can show us through people that we might not have seen by ourselves. And one of the things it shows us is that God created us to be interdependent rather than dependent. We don't make our own decisions by ourselves. God puts us in his family. He surrounds us with people who have more spiritual growth and experience than we do, because we need that type of insight. And what it does is it works together with God's word, and we see those things. That is what God is telling us. And it makes our relationship based on God in God's family. And those things are very important. And Peter is just putting that into practice. He says, I'm going to remind you always of the things that I've learned, the things that God has shown me, the things that are the fundamental truths that you can't forget when you're making your decisions, that you have to remember that the things that you're doing, they need to be honoring God. They need to be made knowing that God has loved you, that his Holy Spirit is there working to redeem you, and that the hope of Christ is there. And you know them and you're firmly established in them, even though you know them and are firmly established in them. And that's the same word as strengthened. You remember when Jesus prayed for Peter, and he said, I prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. Satan's trying to sift you. He's trying to shake you out of the kingdom. But I have prayed for you. I'm holding on to you, that your faith may not fail. And when you have returned to me, that's interesting too, isn't it? You remember we read last week that a true believer is not going to stumble and fall into ruin, but he is going to trip and fall how many times? Seven. And the Lord will always lift him what? Always lift him up. We are going to fall. We're going to trip. We're not always going to do what's right. God is going to help us to grow through those experiences. And when Peter has returned, he is supposed to use that knowledge, that comfort, and he is supposed to strengthen his brethren. Some of your translations say standing firm in that truth. I want to stand firm in that truth, and I want to help others see that. Now, if Christians are firmly established in the truth, why does Peter feel he need to remind them? What is it about things that we don't know that we forget? How many of you would agree that if you've learned something years and years ago, but you don't use it anymore, you can start to forget some of the details of it? Sometimes you can start to forget some of the major things about it if you don't use it. And so our faith, God's word, the fundamentals of Christianity, they should be a part of every everything that we're doing, all the thoughts and all of the actions that we take, if we put that word aside and we stop reminding ourselves of what God has said, we start hearing, we start working with, we start doing things in this world, and slowly we start to forget the things that God wants us to always remember. What are those things? You know, I can forget a lot of details and still be able to handle something if I understand the fundamentals, right? And what we see that we read here in 2 Peter that it tells us is that, well, let me just read that to you. It says this. It says, but whoever does not have them, these qualities of the Spirit growing in us and us growing in these Christ-like characteristics because God is working with us, they're nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been what? Cleansed of their past sins. We forget that Christ died for us. He set us free from those sins. He set us free from being imprisoned by those sins. And we start to forget what it was like to be imprisoned. We start to forget what it was really like to be a slave of sin. We forget how bad it really was. You know, one of the most interesting things to me when I was teaching is sometimes you have children who have been in abusive homes and they have been treated horribly and they've been abused horribly. But when you take them out of the home, you know what they want? They want to go back. And they don't remember. It's just kind of like they put it out of their mind, all the bad things that happened. But they want the, you know, there's some one good thing about mom or dad they want to come back to. And people are kind of like that a little bit in that we can go through a Christian life and start following God and start doing some things he wants. And well, there are going to be some benefits in that. Our life is not as bad. And then pretty soon we forgot why we're doing that. And we're doing it now because we're smarter. We make wiser choices. We forgot that we are doing that because Jesus Christ opened our eyes to realize that we can't live in this world leaning on our own understanding. We're always doomed to find out at some point that we didn't understand everything involved in what we were doing. And that word of God, like Brad is talking about, and like the reason I talk, because I see him reading it all the time, it's loading in our minds all the time. And I'll just give you a couple verses. Psalms 119:6 says, I consider all your commands, is what David says. And how many of you would agree? David has a very close relationship with God, right? We all want the kind of relationship with God that he had. And he considers all of God's commands. All of them are a lot. That means you got to be working through that and thinking about it on a daily basis. In verse 15, he says, I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. So I'm not just reading through it, but I'm thinking about it. And I'm thinking about why is this the way God does things? Why is he telling me this is the way humans are? Why is he telling me that this is the way that I should think and that I should live? Everybody knows, most people are familiar with this verse. In verse 16, he says, I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. And if most of us are going to be honest, we've spent times in which we did exactly that. We were so busy with the things of the world, we neglected God's word. And then we got into some kind of mess and realized we're so far from God, I just feel empty inside. I got to get back to opening up that word and to communicating with God. Then he prays in verse 34, give me understanding so I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. You can't really obey God's law if you don't understand it. And that comes from meditating and considering and applying and seeing God work. And in verse 43, he says, I trust in your word. Never take your word from my mouth, for I have put my hope in your laws. How many of you think this is a prayer God would like hearing? I will never, never take your word from my mouth. I trust in your word. I put my whole hope in your laws, the things that you say are unchangeable. I will follow you. You know, if we want our minds, the mind of Christ, if we want our minds to be stayed on Christ, if we want our minds to have a godly perspective so that we can be a godly person, it's got to be watered and it's got to be nurtured. I put this photo up because I should have years ago taken a picture of a tree that I bought for my house. I went by the nursery and I saw this really cool tree. It had balls. Somebody had cut it into balls. I don't like the spirals as well, but it's the same idea. And it was really, really cool. And I bought that thing and I took it home and I planted it. And of course, you know what happens when I didn't trim it. Now it looks like a bush. But you can do all kinds of things on the outside that make things look really, really cool. That make them look really, really important, really, really valuable. You can have something that's trimmed up like that where a person walks in and goes, man, I wish I had one like that. I wish I looked like Jonathan. I wish I acted like Eric. I wish I prayed like Alan. I wish I, you can have all those things on the outside that are not necessarily on the inside. But if they're not on the inside, they don't last. If you don't water that beautiful spiraled thing, you know what it'll turn into? It'll turn into just a big mess. And so you got to file all that stuff away in your mind, and that takes time to file things. And this is a process. Here's one thing I would suggest to you. If you take a look at Psalms 119, there's 22 sections. Each section's 8 verse. And so I would just suggest, I do this off and on in my life, because Psalms is so great, and Psalms 119 is so great. It's David's journal of his spiritual growth. And so I'll take it, and I'll just take once a day, I'll read an 8-verse session, and I'll just think about it and think about what is God trying to say here, what is he communicating to me through David about spiritual growth, and take 22 weeks and just slowly walk through that. It's a short enough section, it won't really affect the rest of things you want to do with prayer and Bible study and things like that. But being able to file away something that you've thought deeply about and you understand how God is telling you, you need to change your life to be closer to him. And then he finishes up with these two verses. I think that it's right to refresh your memory. Some of your translations say to remind you. Most of them will say something like to stir you up or to awaken you. And the idea is to arouse you from being asleep. Because we have a tendency to not grab a hold and pursue and study and seek to know what God is doing at the moment and to know more about God than we did before. We get in that place where we think we're pretty good. Let me just sit back and relax a little bit. Let me enjoy the American dream of retirement. I think I know enough scripture right now. And it's to stir you up to get up and to be active with reading and seeking for God to show and to tell you how to take your next step in your life right now. We want to be experiencing God just as much today as we did in the crisis before. And so we want to keep you alert. I like that translation there. As long as I live in the tent of this body, Peter says, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord and Jesus Christ has made clear to me. So Peter knows he's fixing to die. He knows that his time is near. And he wants to at least preserve. Some people say that he's talking about the Gospel of Mark right here, because he dictates that to Mark, who was one of his assistants, to be able to leave behind a clear journal of what Christ really said. But he is saying this. He's saying, look, I want to remind you, I'm going to make every effort to do that as long as I live. I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. And what he's really saying there is, I realize what my life is about on this earth. My life is about serving God. It's not about enjoying things. I have enjoyed great adventure in life. But my life is about serving God, and his purpose is the redemption of the world, building his family. It goes way beyond me. I'm here in this world for a little piece to be able to leave a legacy of people who are still searching for and finding the Lord. And so he is making every effort to do that. So in summary, Peter is so eager. I mean, he knows he's going to die, and this is what he wants to do, is to remind us so that we won't forget. Because if you read the Old Testament, how often do they forget? All the time. Every problem they have, it comes back, and God says, you forgot. You forgot what's important. You got fixated on things that are not important. And so you're going to lose the thing that's not important. I would have given you even better. But you forgot me, and you walked away from me. And so now, instead of your life being a blessed climb to the heavenly places, you are experiencing the corruption of the world. Everything is falling apart. And number two, so you're not deceived. We're about a couple weeks of getting into this, but a big portion of this book is going to be about the fact that we are surrounded by people who have all kinds of philosophies and all kinds of teachings of how to be successful, how to be happy, how to be fulfilled, but they're not God's way. You're surrounded by false teachers, by false prophets who can tell you how you can live a wonderful life, but it doesn't contain the gospel. And so I want to remind you so that you're not deceived. And the third thing is, I want to remind you so that you can remind others. Because the most important thing to most of you who are older in this room is that those children sitting next to you, that they're going to worship God too. That they're not absorbed into this world. Because this world's trying to absorb them. And it can be a difficult thing without you. Psalm 78:2-6. It says this, I will teach you lessons from the past, stories that we have heard and known, stories our ancestors did what? Handed down to us. We will not hide these truths. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord so that the next generation might know them. We're living in a generation that doesn't know them. And part of the reason is we haven't taken the time to tell them. Because the only time we had was in between commercials or something like that. And so we want to make sure that we wake up and we're reminded of our purpose here on earth. And we realize that we have to know the truth or we can't live it. And we can't give it away. But it's important for us not to leave a generation that has no idea what the truth is. And the final verse that I have as we go into this, and I know this one turns to a serious note, but this is what happens if we do not live for Christ. If we have a shell of religion but don't live for Christ, if the basics of Christianity are not alive in us, we cannot communicate them to others. And it says in Judges 2:10-12, after that generation died, the generation that was on fire for God, another generation grew up who did not remember the mighty things that God had done. They did evil in the Lord's sight and served the images of Baal. They abandoned the Lord, the God of their ancestors. They went after other gods, worshiping the gods of the people around them. And the gods of Baal were the gods of sexual immorality. They were the gods that provided material things. These are the gods of the world. And we want to make sure that when we live, Christ lives in us, and he shines through us, and people around us, especially our children, can see it, and they can understand and know who the Lord is and what following him means, because we don't want a generation that leaves and worships other gods, because we know how God disciplines that to get their attention back. Well, I want you to spend just a moment, and I want you to think about, and just to respond to God on the words that you've heard, the encouragement that God's word has given you to preach that gospel to yourself, to remind yourself, to live it, and to remind others around you that his words and his presence might be the atmosphere in which you live. That the places that you go, you bring Christ with you. So take a few minutes and just respond to God on whatever you feel he is calling you to in your heart. Lord Jesus, as we have walked through this first chapter of 2 Peter over these last few weeks, we have been reminded that everything in our life comes from knowing you. We've been reminded that we have been given that faith through Jesus Christ, our God and our Savior. That your love was clearly demonstrated to us by leaving the blessings and the greatness of heaven to come to live on this earth as a human being, humbling yourself to come as a baby, putting yourselves under the authority of the world you created, allowing that world to demonstrate the ugliness of sin as it turned on you when it wouldn't get what it wanted from you, and it put you to death on that cross. How you took those stripes and those nails in your hands as a symbol of our sin, taking our sin on your back and pronouncing, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Chasing after the things they think they need to their own destruction. And rising from the dead that we might see the power of who you are, we might see the mercy, the grace, and the ability to redeem. Sending your Holy Spirit to speak in our hearts so that we know that you are calling us individually by name into something so much greater than ourselves that we don't even really know what it is, but we know that we are either going to push you as God away or we're going to embrace you, and you gave us the faith to grab a hold. And then we realize that it's you who are holding us. And Father, we don't want to forget that Jesus Christ is our Savior. That there is no life outside of Jesus Christ. And that he gives us the ability to know our Creator. That the Holy Spirit lives in us to open our eyes to what you're saying, and that we can live in peace with you. Father God, don't let us get so enamored with the physical things around us that we forget what's important and we neglect the great gift of salvation you've given us. Help us, Lord, to put you first, to love you first, and to seek you first, as we know you'll add unto us all that we need. And so we thank you, Lord, for who you are. We thank you for what you've done. And we surrender right now our lives to you fully. And we ask you to help us to learn and to live out what that means. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.